The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. Throughout all of sacred scriptures, we find numerous accounts of miraculous births. There are six that we can point to directly. Sarah, Abraham's wife, gave birth to Isaac. They were both way beyond the age of having children. Rebekah, Isaac's wife, gave birth to Jacob and Esau. Rachel, Jacob's wife, gave birth to Joseph. Samson's mother, Manoah's wife, gave birth to Samson. Hannah, the wife of Elkanah, gave birth to Samuel. Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, gave birth to John the Baptist. All of these were unable to conceive according to nature. They were either all advanced in age or considered sterile. And all of them involved the intercession of a priest or a prophet, or even strangers who were messengers from God. The seventh example is Mary, who gave birth to Jesus as a virgin. This is the only account where actually a virgin gives birth, and we know by this that God is involved in the process, because it's impossible. In the gospel today, we have a very concise, unlikely account presented with a particular historical accuracy that isn't common to the New Testament. This happens on the fourth Sunday of Advent in all three gospel cycles. It gives us the details of a moment in history, and yet itself remains timeless. In cycle B, we hear the story of the Annunciation of Mary, where Gabriel appears to her and announces to her the mystery of God's salvation. It is filled with proof of historical names and places and contexts. Cycle C is the story of the Visitation, and in that story, the proof of Elizabeth's pregnancy, as well as the testimony of the Baptist from her womb, announces that Jesus is here. Today, Gabriel the angel, in cycle A, is the same who appeared to the virgin betrothed to Joseph, for it is through the Holy Spirit that he tells Joseph that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Gabriel told Mary the child to be born will be called holy. He tells Joseph, this is the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah's words, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus." I have two takeaways from this today. First of all, as unlikely as all of these accounts are, they are all given the context of persons, places, and particular moments in history. These are not mythical tales. The ineffable plan of God is visible, and human beings are definitively, definitively involved in the action of salvation. And second, the part that I find most important, all of these accounts speak of the closeness, the nearness of God, who does not remain aloof and watch our humanity as a train wreck. He is in the details and things that don't happen by coincidence. And since he knows us better than we know ourselves, he knows of Joseph's humility and his ability to say yes and not divorce Mary quietly to avoid putting her to shame. This entire enterprise is so fragile. It could go wrong in so many ways. But the delicate lines of the story lead us to the most unlikely climax. Impossibly, the infinite enters the finite. The all-powerful God, creator of universes, enters into his own creation in the most vulnerable, helpless form of our being, a newborn child. Is it possible that God trusts us so much? Is it possible that God trusts you so much? I remember being aware of the process of growing up. I remember when the light finally went on, when I finally realized that the way we become responsible is by being given each time a little more responsibility. Responsibility had to be given and taken before I realized I was a responsible person and before I respected the gravity of that responsibility. God doesn't need us at all, but he has entered into our history and revealed that our fulfillment rests in our complementarity with him to act together. It is a synergy of free wills. We are utterly dependent on his filling us with his own life. As hard as we try, we could never cause any of this to happen or make any of it make sense. But what is impossible for us is possible for God. In his love and mercy, God still initiates and invites, even today. But only when we say our yes do we come alive.